This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, gang, here's the headline.
Gather round, gang.
I ain't never been one to be the last guy left at the dance when the lights come on.
I have actually been licking my finger and putting it in the air.
The wind, she's blowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to gather up my things in my little bindle, toss it over my shoulder, and head on to the next stop on the truck.
So
help me out.
John and I and the show are, as of the end of the year, not going to be on Earwolf anymore. We love Earwolf.
And we've had a blast. We could never repay Earwolf for everything they've done for us. They have given us the figure that it would and it's like, it's just not, that's not going to happen. And so what makes sense, I think, for everybody at this point is that we stay friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't stay.
No more, yeah.
We're not. We're going to leave Earwolf.
So we're saying this now because tomorrow is our last pro version on Stitcher Premium. And then in January, the pro version is going to be on the Flagrant Ones Patreon, our Patreon. And we're also going to have season 3 of Masterclass of Hollywood Masterclass on the Patreon sometime in 2021. So everything's exactly the same. Not like, you know, nothing is, you get it.
I also am going to be leaving Earwolf at the end of the year. And I will continue producing the show with the boys. And I'm going to be working with...
This is, your stuff is just going to get like buried.
This feels like it should be on Maybe Don't. So I'm on the beach, the big... next to the... Do you see what I'm...
The big...
The water, yeah. And... You've seen this.
Yes. It's kind of brown.
Huge. Brown. Yes, very brown, but not the water, but some of it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, exactly. That, it's like huge.
I'm on the brown part, mm-hmm. And it's me, and it's Pete's dragon, and we are trying to teach a man to fish.
Okay, let's talk about this.
We had been giving a man a fish. Let's talk about this. We had been doing it every day. And what do you think would happen the next day, Hayes? And I didn't see it coming. And I had to eat a pretty good heaping helping of crow from Pete's dragon, Elliot, who was telling me this would happen.
When I do this and, you know, I go out and it's like hot and my feet hurt and I'm like still doing this and I give man the fish.
And it's getting everywhere.
And I think, well, at least I don't have to do this ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, man comes to me.
You were me.
And his hands are on his belly, and he's kind of like rubbing his belly a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, that was a pretty good fish yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my fucking
boy, yesterday.
God.
Yesterday, man. Fish.
Ooh, oh, I fish. Know many of you had the same fish from yesterday.
The same fish?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Fuck. Well,
but like, okay.
At least this won't happen again tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I did. For, I think it was 225 days in a row. I said, well, luckily this is the last time. And Elliot would turn, he'd go, nom, 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 nom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go, oh, I know what you're saying, Elliot, that we should just teach him to fish. But I think he'll have learned by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had, you know, sort of come to a head with it. I was basically out of fish too. And so I said, well, why don't you come down to the pier with me and I'll teach you. And I started to realize how bad pollution in the ocean is.
Oh, no.
Yes. And so really it was a message of environment as well. So it was so many lessons in this one day.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook,
hey, and Insider's Guide.
Kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line of this industry we call showbiz.
Back hallways.
Nomi, you gotta write about this stuff.
Nomi, you gotta do something.
Have you ever
thought
about like doing a little thing about this? We gotta talk about this.
How about Nomi's fish fry?
Oh, about the fish?
Nomi's fish fry.
Yeah. About the fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
About the fish. The fuck we've been talking about.
You know, I remember actually that there was
a daily column, Nomi's Fish Fry.
Yeah, my first column will be about how I, you know, nobody sue me, but I remember vaguely that maybe 15 years ago, I read in Us Weekly that Angelina Jolie said that you shouldn't give a man a fish. You should give him a fishing rod. And I remember being very disappointed when I read that. But, you know, who knows if that's even true? But that's what my first column will be about.
That's the kind of thing where, like,
and
they
nobody
get, like,
sue me.
Sources say
nobody
or whatever.
Sue me. And it'll just go from there. You know, that'll be my first column and then my second
Isn't
column.
Isn't it crazy we have to start every column these days with nobody sue me?
You know, we are living in the era of political correctness. And, you know, we just got to be really careful. It's every man for himself.
Nomi, I once read a headline in Us Weekly, where some of the cast members of This Is Us were fighting, and the headline was, "This Is Fuss." Have you ever thought
amazing.
Of doing
That's
something
amazing.
Like Something like this. You got it. Like, you write something about this.
I don't think I could reach that level.
Because this is Nomi Fry.
It's
right?
Me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're doing. Like, we're talking about this. And like
we're doing this.
This is the first time we have talked to a journalism writing this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We've never talked about this, and like,
and the power of the pen and the access we have now with this, and we're talking about this journalism. It's writing now, huh?
Yes, it's right now. It's writing. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And what did you write about?
What did you write? Please.
You mean over the past like
anywhere.
20 years? Yeah. I mean,
what did you say? What did you say? What do I mean?
Yeah, like in the past,
it's like a pretty normal.
Years.
Just like to me, it's like just a very basic question of like,
what did you even write about? Like, this is pretty cool, huh?
It's amazing. Yeah, I've you know been writing about a variety of things. I wasn't writing there, but I worked at Us Weekly for a while.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you want to say what you wrote about?
Tell us.
Yeah, I mean,
just say what you wrote about.
Okay, what did
I
write
about? Let's
see, what did I write about? I was actually just looking over some of the things that I've written about, and I was reminded. Yeah,
that's perfect for this question.
Yeah,
that is getting us so close to the answer to this question.
I knew you would ask this. I knew you would ask this, and so I was looking back. You know, just taking a little bit of a journey down memory lane, throwing it back, if you will. Mm-hmm. And
that's what that means.
Remember that I wrote about the pee tape. And the amazing thing was that I had completely forgotten about the pee tape.
You taped over it?
I taped over the pee tape.
Mm-hmm. There was a Family Guy on that you liked and you taped it over the pee tape?
Yeah.
And that happened. Mm-hmm. It was the one where... Peter did his own rendition of The King and I.
Is Family Guy the one with the baby?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. This is like a really good question. Is that the Family Guy? Is that baby the Family Guy?
Is the dog? I know there's a baby and there's a dog. I've never watched the show.
The dog I don't think is...
No way the dog
is
Family Guy. He's the family dog.
But I actually think...
But he's always with the baby, who I guess is the Family Guy, no?
But here's, this is interesting. I've been thinking about, and you got to do something about this, Nomi.
Okay.
Like I have actually been thinking that the mom can be Family Guy.
It's, you know, in this era of political correctness, you know,
nobody sue me, but nobody the mom sue me. Can be Family Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog can definitely be Family Guy.
And that is actually where I disagree.
One thing where we did say that it was not the dog.
Everything is topsy-turvy nowadays, you guys.
And she's also the first one. You ever notice this? Or like maybe by the time you're like hitting record on the tape, sometimes the beginning, you don't get the very beginning, or like it gets cut off. But like she's the first one. And the effect on me is I have this sort of imprinting phenomenon that the first person I see in a show, that is
that's the title of the show.
Yeah.
Whatever the show is, the first person I see is named the title.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I can't recall if it was Rizzoli or Isles, but one of them is Rizzoli and Isles to me.
Is it only with people? Or can it be like...
No. It could be a bridge or a train.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I am now recalling, I believe I'm slightly or a lot older than you two youngsters. And when I was growing up, one of my favorite shows was Who's the Boss?
Okay.
And the first frame of the show, of the opening credits, was a truck.
That's
driving from New York to Connecticut.
Truck's the boss.
No, the truck's name boss. The truck's name is Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
Truck's name is Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out.
Why was that? So, like, I'm also really old, but, like, I at different points in my life have been, like, studying... and like doing research on different things where I'm
and
like
not learning.
Learning and like always in school, you know?
Yeah, life is your school.
Yeah, here's school. Oh, right outside this door.
But so like, oh, and I'll actually be like out and like doing stuff and like going to the zoo and things like that. But why was that truck named Who's the Boss? Why was that part of the show? This could be good. This could be a good, if you want to do this something
could,
about this.
Yeah, you
could write about
this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can write. Yeah, this is giving me a lot of ideas.
Good. Maybe next time somebody asks what you wrote about, you'll just right away be able to go, the truck's name, Who's the Boss?
Why was that truck? Why was there a truck in the show?
Why was there a truck in the show?
Yeah.
Do you want me to like sort of...
Do people do this when you ask them questions and just like say the question?
Yeah, all the time.
Again? Okay.
Yeah, all the time. Interesting. All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you learned it.
Yeah.
So
that's what I learned in the School of Life.
And so why was that truck there?
Well, Tony and Samantha.
Okay.
You know, two Americans of Italian descent.
Thank you.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
Italianx.
Italianx. I was watching this show in Israel. I had never met an Italian American in my life. Absolutely had no idea what that was. But the show taught me, and part of that teaching was knowing that Italian Americans, you know, sometimes they take a truck and they drive from, I think, Brooklyn, Queens, maybe. And they drive to Connecticut to seek out a better life, because Samantha, you know, her mother died, and Tony wanted
Mona.
Her to go. Oh my God, Mona, you're bringing me back.
Mona's not dead. She's upstairs.
Mona, you know, I think Mona was the first. No, she wasn't a MILF. She was a GILF. Right?
Yeah.
She was the grandma.
Yeah.
She was like the horny grandma.
Nobody sue me. She was a horny grandma.
Nobody sue me.
She's a horny grandma.
So Samantha, Tony wanted her to have a better life, go to a better school district.
Kim Guilfoyle.
Kim Guilfoyle.
Just sounds, right?
Yeah.
You hear something that's and
actually,
you go,
that's actually interesting. And you know what you else know? Is interesting? That you called her Kim rather than Kimberly. It's sort of like when I say I like worked with Marty on The Irishman or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like,
she's just Kim. We got to stand on ceremony all the time with this gilf. Come
never.
On.
Never. No.
It's just Kim.
So, Nomi.
Yeah.
We can do something today. We can do whatever we want on this show. Anytime we want.
We're free. You must have a lot planned, actually. I mean, you've been begging to be on the show, right?
I've been really begging. It's true. I'm not going to lie.
You must have a lot planned for us then.
A ton. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, say one thing.
Happy to be here.
Okay.
With the boys.
Okay. Not what I meant.
And this is main feed, Nomi. Do you know this? Are you been made aware of this?
This was a big negotiation happening behind the scenes. We don't always let everyone in on this, but you know, there was a question of, look, Nomi really wants to do the show. Like, Nomi's dying to do the show.
Yeah, I've been dying.
Kevin,
years.
Of course, said,
no way.
No. We said, well, come on, Kev. He said, all right, we'll put her on a pro version. Throw the kid a pro version. You know what I mean? Make her feel okay. We get, you know, wash our hands of the whole thing and walk away. Everybody gets a win, you know? We're not necessarily doing like a main feed episode, but yeah.
So what happened?
Ran out of people.
I don't know.
In the time it took to book you on the pro version.
Yeah.
We had everybody else who was willing to do the show. And all of a sudden, Kevin comes up. Yeah. Maybe Nomi could be main feed. Okay. But you felt pretty strongly that that would be, in your words, Kevin, a disaster for the show. So, you know, that makes me hesitant because you had pretty strong feelings about that. But he said basically he'd been on the phone with everyone the previous week and nobody else was going to do the show. And that this is where we were at.
Right. And then Sean, you reached out, as they say, on the DM.
Mm-hmm. And, DMs.
And you said,
carpe diem.
Carpe diem. And you said,
that's funny.
There's a chance that you're going to be asked to be a guest on the show.
Didn't want to say that it was main feed because that.
Yeah. No,
that
no,
aspect
never.
Had not been negotiated. The ink wasn't dry on that.
Yeah. And then you said Chef Kev will be reaching out. And then I responded within like, I don't know, maybe like 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds. And I said, oh my God, the day is finally here. I can't believe this. Like, it's actually happening. And then Kevin emailed me. And then I like DM'd you again. And I said, Kevin just emailed. This was maybe like, I don't know, 15 minutes later. Mm. And then, of course, you did not respond, which is a classic situation.
It's been
and
crazy
I said, okay,
here.
Okay, the boys are keeping me on my toes.
It's
and
been
that's just how I like
here,
it.
Nobody.
That's how I like it. And I was, you know, humbled, excited, concerned, all of these things together.
And, what do you want him to say to, in response to, Kevin just emailed? Affirmative?
Affirmative, yeah. Or just, you know.
Just some
just,
exclamation points probably
yeah,
would have done
like,
the job there.
That sounds, you know, maybe something just
They're
like
cheap.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay. But of course.
Not the first. Like, yeah, sure. Right?
Like,
that's an option.
Oh,
not
he
my
did?
First instinct.
But.
Oh, wait, he did?
But, oh, really?
Why?
Oh,
wait, what
wow.
do you mean?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Actually,
okay, that's fine. We can.
Let me call him real quick. Okay, yeah, no, that was intentional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know.
So great.
Great. And so. Okay. So I'm gonna keep on telling the story. So then Kevin, I was emailing with Kevin, and I was keeping it like, you know, I was like expressing my excitement, but I was also trying to like kind of mitigate my potential disappointment if it didn't work out. And so I was like, okay, I was kind of keeping it a little bit, I was being a little bit cautious. And then Kevin said, can we do it tomorrow or Friday? And then I realized, like, clearly, like, a guest had fallen through.
It was an emergency.
And it was an emergency.
No, that's not true. A guest had not fallen through. Every possible guest had fallen through. This is how it was expressed to me by Kevin.
So, and, you know, and once again, I felt, the feeling was, it hurt, but it was familiar. Mm-hmm. And so I felt, you know, kind of comfortable with the way the situation was playing out, because I, you know, that's kind of like the way things usually go. And so I was like, okay, oh, this is okay. Sure. I'll do it. Sure. Friday, Thursday, I have therapy. And I wanted to, you know, put some air between my therapy day and
Are you okay?
Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything's great. Everything's great.
Okay.
So like in therapy, I get built up, and then I knew that once I was hanging out with the boys, I'll be torn down again. And it's kind of like the phoenix, you know. So it
would have been better probably to do us than therapy.
For certain purposes, certainly, yeah.
What's SpongeBob's name in Israel?
SpongeBob.
No, it's something else.
Oh, you're right. Oh shit. Yeah. Should I Bubsfog?
Bubsfog. Bubsfog, Meeknas Maruba or something.
Hayes, this is very surprising. What's going on here?
That's the only, but like, that's interesting. That's more interesting to me than what
Hayes
I was hearing about.
Hayes is passionate about like foreign market SpongeBob. This has been something of a pet project of his for a while.
I sort of
in every language.
I sort of collect them.
I'm trying to Bubsfog. Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly Bubsfog, and then yeah, Meeknas Maruba is SquarePants. It's true. I'm trying to remember if that's. I think that checks out. Yeah,
probably right. Yeah. I mean, that's his name.
Yeah. Do you know it also in like Hungarian and so on, and like you know, like
no. So like I collect them for the most part. I don't like open them. Like they're all sort of like a mint in package for me. All these like exotic SpongeBobs. So a few things have happened over here. My wife at one point delivered a really delicious looking and smelling lunch, and she put it on the desk for me, and then just now she just took it away without me getting to touch it at all.
And it's that easy. And it's that easy, Hayes.
How long was it on the table? How long was it?
It was there for a good amount of time, almost the entire time. She decided to deliver it pretty much as soon as we hit record, which was tough for me to figure out how to eat an entire lunch while we were doing the podcast. And I appreciate the fact that she brought me lunch at all.
That's really nice.
What's in the lunch? Cheese and potatoes?
Yeah, today. today, I just said, I woke up this morning and I was like, I would love for lunch. Do we have like capers?
Yeah.
I would love just like a bowl of capers.
Like, are you talking about those giant capers you get in like Tuscany?
I would love a mix of,
capers. Yes.
Being smushed under a huge Tuscan caper.
Just diving into one of those giant caper bins that they have there.
And the like, you know, the farm out in the field, you see them rolling the huge caper down the hill.
With a stick?
To the big hole that they've set there to like catch the huge caper.
Feeds off.
And all the
village.
Different people in the village, are coming up and ripping off pieces of it with their hands. You know, it's so fresh they could just eat
break
the giant
capers
caper.
With your community, you know. This is how they used to do it. You knew your neighbors then because you had shared a caper with them. And you had ripped it off, and so you had accidentally touched fingers inside the caper as you were digging around for the sweetest piece. Oh, we've lost something. The internet, we've lost something with all this.
It's, you know, there's no human connection anymore.
You certainly weren't getting sued for quoting an old Us Weekly article, you know, by your neighbor who you just had a big hunk of paper with.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
But so look, Nomi.
Yeah.
Like I said, we do what we want on this show, and that's it. We don't do anything else. But today, since we have Nomi's here, it's time to do it. And like we thought about this for a while. Like, let's write a major article.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so we'd like it to be major. We'd like it to actually go. It would really help us if it went really quite viral.
You're doing like New Yorker stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Lord,
what I'm doing.
Lord Graydon's mans. I mean, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this. Let's do, like, what's the thing? Okay. Let's, like,
you ever bump into Steve around the office, Steve Martin?
Yeah, all the time. He wears a white, what's it called?
After Labor Day?
A seersucker suit.
The thing that, like, and, like, he's earned this. I don't really care, but, like, on this show, like, I think we like can talk about this kind of stuff. He sucks at the banjo.
He plays the banjo? I guess I didn't know that.
Steve Martin? He's like obsessed with the banjo. No one, I guess, is like willing to tell him that
it's all yes men.
Yeah. It's like you get to this point in your career where you're like, this is cool, right? Like I'm playing the banjo. I'm doing it the right. He's not even doing it the right way.
No.
And like,
is he playing it with his teeth?
That would be better.
He's like, kind of, you could say that. He's like, he is flossing with it sometimes, which I understand. Like,
it's right there.
It looks like you are supposed to be doing that, but like, everyone's standing around him telling, like, yeah, that's really good. It sounds great. It sounds like shit.
It sounds horrific. He basically puts it at the top of like a big ladder and then he jumps up and punches it as hard as he can.
From the bottom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds horrible. Like it's one of the worst noises I've ever heard. Not even just like it's not good banjo music. Like it's a very bad sound what he's making. And his hand is bleeding. He's bleeding.
Is this what we're going to write about?
I hope not, man, because this is probably one of the least pleasant things going on today. Is Steve Martin's brutally violent and unpleasant banjo fetish. It really is distressing to me. I'd rather write about something positive like,
And this can know me for you while SpongeBob? Sean thinks about this.
Yeah.
We would love to. It would be really interesting to write a story about SpongeBob. this can be helpful to you in a way where like, you know, you're doing like articles and stuff now and that's awesome, but like we can really get you consistently into Daily Shouts, I think. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
We can get to that point where
you're flirting with them now. What we can do is we can make it a full blown relationship.
We can make them
put a ring on it. Because,
honestly, I think we're at a point, like, you are at a point, and, like, with us, we can get to, like an MWF situation, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, no meet.
I feel like you guys can really, like, take me over that edge, which I would really appreciate. And, you know, let's do this. I mean, I'm really excited about it.
This doesn't have to be part of the article. What do you have any feelings in particular about the fact that your episode of our show is ultimately the episode that has destroyed our relationship with Earwolf?
The network
which hosts our show.
Okay. Yeah. So can you maybe say a little bit more about that just so I can know, you know?
You said you would kick
me behind the scenes. I just want to know just a little bit more, if that's possible.
Honestly, this should probably be what the major article is about.
I guess so.
Okay, so tell me.
So, wow. I mean, like...
Do you want to begin at the beginning?
Not really. Well, Hayes can if he wants.
Yeah, no, it probably makes more sense to like.
No, maybe I think just it, start. You just start wherever you feel comfortable with starting. You know, I.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember exactly what happened. Just like so, like Kevin has been for a long time, like walking around with like exciting new gear, you know, and he knows that like the stuff that he's like wearing, like he's like kind of like flashing it in a way. He's got like. This like wad falling out of his pocket and just like I'm like Kevin, like what's up with you, like where is this like coming from? And that's normally not like something I care about, but just like the way he's wearing like these blinding white sneakers and like hard jeans, raw selvedge denim jeans.
We should talk about him asking us to call. He was like, hey, can I not be Chef Kevin anymore and you guys call me Mr. Frosty because I'm so iced out? And right. I thought like, well, Chef Kevin's like established. People like this. Yeah, he is dripping. Yes. And he's begging us not to mind it.
His jeans are technically ice because they are as hard as diamonds.
Yes.
The selvedge denim is so raw.
It hurts so much.
Yes, that like it is effectively jewelry.
Right.
And so I'm
they
like,
mine what? This denim. This denim is not like they mine it out of the hills.
In Tuscany.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So you've like
I've been there. I know.
The workers just like and with the wheelbarrow rolling the big
and you
hunks
know
of denim down the
it's
hill.
It's like there's contact. There's contact. Mm-hmm. It's like flesh is touching flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, you know you have a boy.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I've got a little boy.
It's skin to skin. Mm. It's, you know, in the hills of, it's like there's, you don't see that sort of thing so much anymore.
Right.
It's true, yeah.
And it comes with a certain primitivism. I'm just going to say it.
That's interesting. I disagree with that. I actually think it's the most advanced that a society can be.
Mm-hmm. That technology has regressed us and that we've actually moved backwards by getting into these Zooms. Oh, I'm so sick of these Zooms. And that actually skin touching skin is the peak of technology. And that's
and
what
this
Facebook
is actually this is actually like caveman stuff, like what we're doing right now. Like
we've
this
gone
is,
so far back.
This is
so
primitive.
Far back.
Well, just looking at an image and like endowing it with meaning, regardless of what it actually is. Like this is caveman brain. But the real Facebook is when you just you smush your face in between two other faces that I guess would be the pages of a book.
Sort of like a book. Sort of feels like a book.
And you just smish around back and forth. That's now, that would be some technology. Whereas that's more face mash.
So that's where they get chef's jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
they go
yes.
up. Yeah.
That's where they get Mr. Frosty's jeans. And so I'm like, Kevin, like, what is up? Like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, you know, like, I've just been working with, like, some other podcasts that have, like, gone independent. And, like, don't tell anyone. Shh. And I'm like, holy shit, I could get my hands on some of these like iced out jeans.
Just
and, like,
one pair of the jeans would be good for me, yeah.
And like, I don't need much, you know, but I do need one pair of really, really expensive jeans. And so that was kind of the beginning of like, Kevin, like, show me what the, like, what's your pitch? Like, how would this work? And I mean, like, Shani, you can like maybe talk about this in more detail, but like Kevin's pitch was honestly one of the most compelling.
It was such a dynamic presentation.
Yes.
And there were so it was so clear and there were so many levels to it. He's just a phenomenal communicator.
As a communicator, yes.
Much and like President Reagan in his time.
Yes,
he
absolutely.
Is a great
no, it is the reincarnation. No, I found myself checking to make sure it wasn't
Ronnie's back
and that it was Mr. Frosty.
Ron's back
and he'd take these little breaks and he would just slap me around with a wad $100 bills. He would just I mean, he would beat my ass with these things. Like he
and you
he'd
liked
have a rubber
it.
Band
and you yeah. liked
and
it.
Yeah, he'd unwind the rubber band from around. He'd start snapping me with it. And it was, and it gave me these little welts, you know, but that was a reminder even when I got home that night and I was showering in front of the mirror and I was looking and saying, oh, wow, these welts are reminding me of this presentation that Kevin gave. Mm-hmm. I have to strongly consider going independent, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be Mr. Frosty, but I wouldn't mind being a little snowflake.
Mm-hmm. He rented out. It's not just us. So like Kevin has this mm-hmm. like whole like empire of shows that he does, and he like, you know, he works on our show, and then he goes to like Corolla and like his other guys, and so he rented out like an airport hotel like conference room, and he's mm-hmm. got like a big screen that like pulls down, mm-hmm. and he's like running us through the financials, which like you're saying, like this is Kevin's love language, you know. To some people, this is like for some people, it's physical touch, and we've talked about this.
Acts of service,
gifts. Exactly.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For Kevin,
it's running through financials.
Yes, and yeah. it's like, and he, and like to communicate that to us is a gesture of
it's
love.
It's an act of love.
And basically, what it comes down to is if we can get 40 other podcasts to do what we're doing, to go independent and to be a part of our network essentially, and if uh-huh. each of them can get, at that point I think it's like 120 podcasts to do the same, then now at this point it's passive, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like, what Kevin calls mailbox money.
Yes,
where you literally, you know, the money just shows up in the mail every week.
Yes,
and you no longer are having to like do the grind. Although you love the grind, you know, I used to call myself a podcaster. I've now become an entrepreneur. I am my own boss because of Kevin, who is my boss as well.
I mean, I personally live for the grind. I don't know about you guys, but
no, I do. I do. But yeah. The idea that one day I could, you know, look, podcasting's, you know,
it's a young man's
it's
game.
It's a middle-aged man's game.
It's a young man's game.
And it's a middle-aged man's game, and I'm not going to be middle-aged forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, at some point, I will be elderly, and it will be time to hang up the mic to shut yeah. down the Tascam.
And at that point, the mailbox money will be really... That's when it really comes
up. I'm going to need it.
And so we're talking to Earwolf and we're like, what's your pitch? And they're like, well, our thing is like, we're going to like pay you money to do the show.
Right.
And I'm like,
as
okay,
we've been doing.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of busted. Like that.
Well, there was no slides.
Idea kind of sucks.
They didn't like ask me any hard questions and then answer them in my face afterwards. Like,
yes.
And they didn't show me any charts. Like,
yes.
It really sucked.
Nobody kicked my ass.
It's yeah. True. It feels kind of, honestly, listening to this right now, it feels mm-hmm. kind of like the passion isn't there really. Like it feels a little dead.
And the jeans Colin had on, his trousers.
His
you
jeans
know,
were like,
they were so soft. They were so flimsy and soft.
They were really fucked up.
I thought they were going to blow off him.
They're like pretty like, just like a light-ish blue, whereas Kevin's jeans are like blue, but like so blue they're black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're really extremely dark,
hard
jeans.
And
yes.
They're really hard.
Kevin yeah. showed yes. me he has a harness at home with hydraulics that he uses to get out of his jeans. He gets lifted out of his jeans by this big machine every night. And it's really impressive, and I got the sense that Colin possibly yeah. just sort of wiggles his hips and his
I
jeans
saw
disintegrate.
I showed up a little early to the meeting, and I saw Colin put on his jeans at the beginning of it, and it took like 1 second. There was no machine.
You know, I heard that the machine that Kevin uses is also made out of the same denim.
It has to be.
It must be.
Right?
It must be the only thing strong enough to stand up to what he's working with.
Yeah. Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to, like, smoke down a big-ass tree right now. And, like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math, I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
So that's the article idea. I mean, we're pretty deep into this thing and we haven't written word one of the article, but like if you have an angle on this, because we really need this to go viral, because that's another part of
this. This was like the beginning of a process. Like, we can talk about this forever. This was like, we're like, okay, how do we make this separation from Earwolf okay, you know, like we don't want to hurt any feelings, like, you know, burn any bridges. So we're like, let's do a bad job for 2 years.
Right. And the first, and so I'm
just
the,
very
I'm
subtle.
Like, yes. And so I'm the first, I'm trying to understand if I'm like the apex, the crystal at the end of this 2-year process, or whether I'm like the really, really, really strong kickoff point of these 2 years.
You're the little, like the little PC, the resistance, where like this is like Ratatouille's friend or whatever. You remember when the guy's like the eating that food?
Yeah.
I forget who that
like when the chef has like ravioli from Chef Pierre or something.
Where Ratatouille,
and it's like a can.
Mm-hmm.
And where is really the human touch? Mm-hmm. You know, where is that? No, it's corporate. It's not really.
And so we say like, okay, like Nomi's on the show and Earwolf is like, okay, I think we're good. I think we're good here.
You're doing us an enormous service because it's essentially been like a point shaving scandal in a way where it's like, we don't want to do anything obvious where we like throw the ball to the other team.
Sure.
We've been making these little mistakes along the way I think Hayes said 2 years, but it's probably been more like 5.
Yeah.
That we've been doing these little tiny errors where it's like, oh, he normally would not, you know, miss that many free throws or whatever, but we don't need to lose. We just can't cover the spread.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same point though, you did want to go out strong, like really, really strong.
We wanted to make a strong statement that we were leaving.
Statement. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally understand. And
like certain smells are very strong.
Sure, you know what I mean? It's like when you come in a room and you say, "What's that smell?"
Yes.
You don't mean like, "Oh, it smells terrific."
You might.
You're definitely impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely having a huge impact.
It's literally remarkable. Like you are forced to remark on it.
You are forced to remark upon it. And you're like, "Okay, what's this smell?" So it's like, does it smell like roses? Does it smell like Chanel perfume?
Mm-hmm. We don't know. Probably it's a whole
not.
New smell.
We don't know. We don't know, but probably not.
Probably not. No Chanel or roses. That would,
Yeah. I mean, it's probably something else.
If we do, just to give you an idea of the stakes, we do need to go viral almost immediately, because if we do not hit a certain subscriber number, we do owe Chef Kevin for all of the equipment and basically the back half of our Earwolf contract.
So and that's like, you know, that's like beginning stages. Like we can eventually build up enough subscribers to like dig ourselves out of the debt
there's a certain amount of cost that Kevin has taken on. He tells us that, you know, just to sort of launch this entire model.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has to happen really quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, I think so, like, we have like a week.
Is this going in the magazine? Is this like, is there Annals of Podcasting? Has that been done before?
I believe there is Annals. Like, it might come under the Brave New World rubric.
Mm-hmm.
Brave New World Department.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what.
Of something would be actually good for us, because then I can do a bit later when we're talking about the article on like, what Sean Connery and Trebek are doing about that, like in heaven.
Oh, by the way,
because
sure.
Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do the SNL Jeopardy sketches with Sean Connery and Trebek?
You mean?
Well, they're both gone. Can I do that now?
Like, are you talking in terms of like the Sumi situation, like the Sumi era, or
let's talk about that.
Absolutely, don't want to get sued.
No,
there's a legal aspect. There's also like the social one of like at gathering, socially distanced, of course. Sean be just like doing the whole thing?
Because
people certainly liked those sketches. I know I did.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could see it as a tribute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you're paying your respects and
would you gather like people around or just like, because Sean and I've been talking about this, would you like kind of gather everyone or would you just kind of launch into it?
I think I would just like launch into it. Maybe
you just start doing it.
Yeah, just start in medias res. Just like
just go to the Grove or something.
Just go into it. Just fire it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just start going.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever. And I don't know the sketches by heart, but I basically would be at the mall and, you know, there'd be a family near me and I would just go like, butt wads for 500. And then I'd go like, it's boutoirs. And then
And you know what, Sean? People might come, either they'll come along or they won't.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be their decision.
Story of my career.
It's on them. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm certainly not going to change.
It's not going to change what you do. And
certainly
it's
not
going
to adjust to the marketplace or what, you know, what my superiors want. I mean, that seems
no.
like that's
no.
a level of compromise that's not smart professionally.
No, not at all.
And that's why it's good to be like mobile at that point, because like you're at the mall and like walking around kind of as you're doing it, you can
yeah.
always like go to the next family or
sure.
whatever. And now they're into it and they're kind of actually like vibing to this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you can never really tell. Like you mm-hmm. might hit that mm-hmm. first family and mm-hmm. your heart will like drop a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not like really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like Hayes mm-hmm. is suggesting, you
yeah.
might just sort of like move along, and then another person might love it.
Well, I slap my earbuds in or something. And I go, I was talking to, like, I was, you know.
Yeah.
I go, excuse me, you're staring at me. I was on the phone.
Yeah. And you might do a thing, like, be a little bit intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be like, what
at
are
that
you
point,
looking
you, like,
at?
You get mad at them and, like, yell.
Yeah. Like, what are you looking mm-hmm. at? Like what you thought I was talking
they're
to you?
Pissed.
Yeah, like
you're like
pissed.
Calling, like talking to the mall cop.
Yeah,
you're talking to this guy, being like, this guy, like, come over and like actually like you punish these people.
Right,
you're pissed.
I think that's the way to go.
Kevin, you've just been like sitting here the entire time. Like, I guess what I sort of wanted when we did agree to like go along with your plan, and I don't know if this is like intentional or what, but I guess I thought we would get more of like a positive reaction from you when we
from
did
you,
decide
yeah.
to like, you know, give up what has become our entire source of income
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And bet on ourselves, if you've been saying, but also like,
yes,
not bet on you, but like pay you, give you money.
Pay you, but yes, bet on ourselves. You've said a lot.
Yeah.
Do you not believe in yourself? And I feel like shit saying like, well, not really, but I go like, no, of course I do.
And I guess, you know, I'm just like being totally honest and like finally agreeing to do this. A big part of it for me was like anticipating your reaction and like, you know, not needing like for you to like throw a party or something, or
no,
like,
but a virtual fist bump of sorts would have been, I think, much appreciated from our end, rather than what we've gotten, which is sort of silence.
Yeah, I remember you being like, "Oh yeah, sick."
Yeah, it's a little. I sympathize with you guys. I feel like that would be a little, like, I don't want to say disappointing, but
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit like surprising, maybe.
Well, Nomi, you told a very vulnerable story early,
mm-hmm.
Early on in the episode about mm-hmm. sending a DM to me that said
yeah.
Chef Kev emailed me and getting
yeah.
nothing back.
Absolutely nothing.
And what I'm realizing is hurt people. And maybe what happened is I learned it from Chef Kevin, and I'm
yeah.
acting out. I'm passing that pain on to you, and it mm-hmm. wasn't fair.
You're finally understanding something, and you're learning something. And I think we all are. And
I think I'll go in my DMs right now and I'll respond to that message.
Wow. So when I'm off this Zoom, I'll go on Twitter and a DM might be waiting for me, you're saying?
But maybe something that's like, doesn't necessarily require another response.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. So it'll be sort of like, yeah. let's close this down.
Thumbs up emoji. I'm not telling you what to do, but
No. It's sent. I sent it.
I can't see.
It's kind of hard to read.
It's hard to read.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Chef. I said, I feel like a young bride on her wedding day. And then I wrote, 28 minutes later, I said, OMG, Chef reached out. nothing, nada. But then I sort of can see what you've written now.
Yeah.
Does it say okay?
It does.
Aww.
It says okay.
That's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's great. I feel, you know, I'm, as I said, I'm very familiar with this, you know, it's a kind of like a pleasurable sort of pain, I would
sure.
say,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I, you know, for me, it's like part and parcel of being a person in the world. And I, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of seek it out almost.
I find that I like pleasure spiked with pain.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on music.
Don't. Yeah. That's where we get actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we start talking about that, and I won't even do it. So does that, you got what you need?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
For the article. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to give us like, yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like we've been talking a little bit more than you this episode. Do you want do you want to give us like the first couple lines of the article, just a tease? So, you know, people know what.
How
what
do you like?
For.
Yeah, how do you begin this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, show me how
like,
you start. This.
I feel like the scene has to be set like mm-hmm. in I don't know really that much what it's like now during the lockdown in LA.
Mm.
Like is
but you
like,
can say like.
Is Intelligentsia open?
Right.
Like, I would set it, ideally, the stage would be set, you know, it would be like on a Monday, you know, last spring.
Hayes Davenport picked at some mesclun greens.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, picked at some mesclun greens.
Yeah.
At,
right. And
fished
and
a walnut
pans,
out of his, yeah.
And something about chef's pants, like, you know, because you yeah. always have to describe something. So he was wearing pants that took on the sheen of a hardened diamond or something, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
And like, even though we're sitting at Spagoo and we're surrounded by the luminaries of the entertainment industry, I
chef
find that like
Wolfgang
I'm
Puck.
Watching them, but they're watching him and he's watching mm-hmm. his mesclun greens, which the entire time. I'm just going to be like just picking at him. Like I cannot figure out how to get this thing on a fork.
They won't come up. You keep bringing the fork out and sure enough, it's empty again and go back
in.
And
a piece, an article needs tension and the tension, mm-hmm. the underlying tension, the core would mm-hmm. be, will he finally get like a, you know, a green on the fork?
For me, the tension, for me, it would be, where am I? I thought I would be part yeah. of the article, you know, because we've described
right.
Chef's pants. We know what Hayes is attempting to eat will mm-hmm. not be successful.
Right.
But I actually don't, I don't know that I'm even in the article at this point, which
what
is a disappointment.
What do you envision yourself doing, Sean? Like ideally, in an ideal version of this article?
I think something that I love in articles like this, in these profiles, is when the it's a celebrity, right? But they're like kind of breaking down the like some awkwardness that happened with the waiter, you know, and they're like really breaking down like the awkwardness of the situation of like, or they're saying like, I feel like I freaked him out with my question about the Bronzino, you know, like
right.
I didn't mean to like put him on the spot like that. That was so awkward. I'm so sorry.
And like, I'd be the waiter, I guess.
And you're like sitting there and be like, I'm writing this.
Right.
Like yeah. right. this is, I'm actually going to write this.
I'd be the way I'd come back and I'd go, Hey, I actually found out from the chef about the Bronzino and it was really interesting. Thanks for teaching me.
You know what? The image that I had in my head.
Teach a man about a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Right now is, do you remember how in the movie Garden State,
mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm gonna remember whatever you describe from Garden State. I'm gonna know it.
Okay, so I haven't watched it since the year I believe 2004, whenever it was that it came out. Mm-hmm. But I remember that in the beginning, Zach Braff is an aspiring actor in LA. I believe mm-hmm. he's like a failed mm-hmm. aspiring actor.
Better believe it.
And he is a waiter. at a restaurant that has a kind of like orientalist.
There's like a kabuki vibe. Theme to it or something, isn't there?
And I believe that he has to wear eye makeup for some reason.
Yeah,
I think that. Do you remember that? Correct.
And yes. So when you were, Sean, when you were saying that you were a waiter in the story, I imagined you wearing the sort of like dark under eye perfect eyeliner.
From the weather report.
Have to speculate that God himself does make us into corresponding shapes like puzzle pieces from then true.
I got nothing to do today but smile.
That's not like to catch my troubled head when you're away. And
you could submit this as poetry to like to the New Yorker, and it could just be like reprinted, and they'd be like, "This is good."
And like and the title would be Garden State.
The title of the poem is Garden State.
It's Garden State, and it's a mashup of two of the songs from the soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And
definitely.
No one would ever know. Mm-hmm. No one would ever figure it out.
And and it says, "Read this poem; it'll change."
And it says,
your life.
"And it says Garden State by Nomi's poem." That's what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really productive, though.
Like, this was really awesome. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think this was really amazing. And like,
I'm ready now. You know, I'm standing at the abyss, and I'm yelling into the abyss. Know me?
His infinite abyss. He's ready to explore it.
A washing machine? What was that? Like, wasn't there some?
Something got thrown in for sure. They had to get rid of the old washing machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm standing there and I'm going,
Peter Sarsgaard's there. Jim Parsons has like a suit of armor on, maybe.
Fuck, I forgot about Peter Sarsgaard. I did a Talk of the Town with Peter Sarsgaard.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year ago.
And now you're doing one with us.
What was what
Hayes
was
Davenport is ready for his close-up. To the mic.
What was the occasion of the Sarsgaard?
There was a movie.
The Sarsgaard toot.
Yeah, we call them talks.
I guess toot is not a natural pronunciation for that acronym.
We call them talks.
Talks.
Yeah. What was the occasion?
Not me.
Where's
that Sarsgaard talk?
Yeah, exactly. There was a movie he was starring in.
Mm.
An indie movie.
So him, right? Is he not doing this?
Yeah, it's so him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie starring Sarsgaard and Rashida Jones.
Wow.
Yeah. And I
boom.
Just had to horn in there.
What was the name?
Yeah. Fuck.
I don't know this movie.
What was the name? Something like Sounds of Silence, maybe. Wow. It was about a
that
sound
seems right.
expert, like a guy who is.
We gotta go. We can't keep talking about this.
We can't figure out the whole. If you knew the name of the movie, I'd love to keep talking to you, but we're actually fucked because
we gotta go, and we're just like leaving just the network entirely. So we gotta get out of here.
And it's been one hell of a run. And
yeah.
Yep.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.